This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for a viewer considering a GMC Hummer EV, a couple torn between a Kia EV6 and a Tesla Model Y, and another viewer wanting to replace their underwater Chevy Bolt EUV. Welcome to the Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 53. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by my colleague Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. Now, if you're looking for your own bespoke Battery Bargains recommendation, send us like a one-minute video or a short email describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so I guess let's kick this thing off with our first case for the day. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased some of these emails a bit for length and clarity. So ready to go car shopping, Martin?
And we're using some new software today, so this could go one of two ways, I guess. But there we go.
Yeah, it's I feel like we're in like a new house, really, and I haven't really gotten used to where everything is. Hopefully we can get through this with a whole lot of stumbles, and you can just enjoy what we've worked up here for you. But our first letter comes to us from Hugh, who writes, "Hello, battery fellas. I've been thinking about switching to an EV truck for a while. I've been driving 2500 HD, that's heavy duty, Duramax trucks for years and don't really have much of a use for heavy towing capability currently. I am an hourly UAW represented GM employee, so I am a little biased. I currently do not have home charging, but will be building a house in the near future and having a charger installed. At the plant I work at, there are 50 free 6-kilowatt flow chargers that are rarely half full, so I can charge daily. I work an 8-hour shift, and I usually arrive to work 20 to 30 minutes early and leave 15 to 30 minutes after shift end, so roughly 8.5 to 9 hours of potential charge time. My commute is 48 miles round trip, with 40 miles being 70 plus miles an hour on the highway. There is also a 240 kilowatt ready DC fast charger for 45 cents a kilowatt hour, plus 10 cents an hour for parking, 4 miles from my house. I also live in Michigan, where today the temperature is currently 7 degrees at 9 p.m., and I work third shift, so my drive to and from work is the coldest parts of the day. I say all this to ask if a used Hummer EV 3X pickup would be a viable option for me. I've been finding some used ones for around $75,000 to $80,000 with clean titles, and some in the $65,000 range with branded buyback titles. If the HEV is a viable option, should I avoid the buyback trucks? Also, what do you guys have an inside line on their battery degradation? I can't find much about it anywhere. Thanks. Love the show, and it's a staple to my assembly line listening. Hugh.
Well, there all we right. go.
So I don't know if you want to take this one first, but I did want to say, first of all, I think it's just cool to imagine someone listening like to our podcast about cars while they're making cars. I think that's pretty great. So thanks for writing that, Hugh. I appreciate it.
It still blows my mind that anyone actually listens to the podcast, but we can see from the downloads that there's loads of people listening. It just feels like we're having a chat, and then we are reminded occasionally that people actually do listen. Look, this is about trucks and US stuff, so you take the lead on this, because we certainly don't have What did he say? A 2500 HD Duramax. That's not a thing for me. Yeah, so, yeah, you take the lead.
That's like the, you know, a little bigger pickup truck with it was just more stout, I guess. I'm not sure if the outside dimensions are much different, but, you know, it's just stouter and it's got a big big diesel. Duramax, I think, is a diesel engine. I'm not actually positive. I've been so out of touch with the combustion world. I just kind of, I'm pretty sure that's a diesel, but yeah, I mean, I drove a lot of diesels back in the day, but they were Fords. So different branding. But okay. So regarding this Hummer situation, I say go for it. The Hummer EV's efficiency can drop as far as 1 mile per kilowatt hour on the highway. So let's say your commute takes 50 kilowatt hours at worst. If you plug in to a 6 kilowatt charger, that 50 kilowatts would be replaced in about 8.3 hours. So about the length of your shift and your, you know, you arrive slightly early. So if your work installs chargers with more output, or if you, you know, you hook up your charger to your new home, the Hummer EV onboard AC charger is capable of at least 11.5 kilowatts. And I think there's an optional for some years to get up to, I think 19 or 19.5 kilowatts. So that would just about halve the charging time at 11.5. So besides being like a ton of fun to drive, if you want to buy a used one, there are lots of low mileage examples out there, even at the cheap end of the used market. So I'm not sure. Okay. So here comes the challenging part. I've got the, I want to share this with y'all.
And you're going to share the screen on our new software. Screen. It probably looks the same. I hope it looks the same. We've worked really hard to make it look the same for the viewers. And look, Hey, it's working. So it looks a little different because our faces are a little bigger, but that's okay. In fact, we can probably do this and let the viewers see more of the screen. There you go.
True. And yeah, so, you know, Hummer EV, he mentioned the pickup version of it. It comes in SUV as well. But yeah, I love these machines. I'm not sure if they're... We took them off-road in Arizona, part of the first drive program, and they were so... To me, I thought they were extremely capable. A little large for trails, but still, I mean, not that much... It's not that much wider than, you know, full-size pickup trucks. But yeah, so only 14,000 miles on this one, and there were like a lot of low-mile ones out there. And in 71651... not eligible for any incentives, but yeah. And I just love this. If you look on our, I use this for the thumbnail today on today's show. And I use the version that has all the roof panels removed on it. So just to show that, you know, it can be a pretty like fun off-road thing, but as much as I love the Hummer, unless you really, really like the idea of a removable roof and great off-road abilities, I think I'd consider a GMC Sierra EV just because they're just a lot more practical and more efficient. On the used market, they're also a little bit more expensive, but they're also like newer, okay? So it's going to be more expensive anyway. And if with the even lower miles, so I see if I can do this two times in a row and get it right. Oh, I think we've lost Martin. Oh, I'm not sure what's going on there. Are you with us still, Martin?
I might be back.
Okay, you're back on the screen, but we have the letter on the screen now, but I'm going to put up the...
That happened when you shared something and I disappeared off, but that's okay. That's a great choice, actually. The Sierra EV Denali is... Oh, it's a beast, isn't it? It's a heck of a vehicle. Right.
It's brand new, 224 miles. $75,000 or $76,000, like, so it's a bit more, $5,000 more than the Hummer we just showed, with more miles and like a slightly older. I'm not sure what year the other one was, maybe a 22 or 23, but yeah, it's 24, so it's like last year's model. It's brand new, basically, so you get full warranty length basically. And I don't know. It's just a lot more efficient too. It's probably it's almost doubly efficient, I think.
So that would be 2 miles per kilowatt hour. But that,
right.
Your math actually works out really well. So yeah, if you budget 1 mile per kilowatt hour on the Hummer, then and you know, plugging into those 6 kilowatt chargers, I think your math's absolutely spot on. But as you say, this vehicle, more efficient, not wildly efficient. But it would certainly give you a bit of breathing room when it's cold.
Right. Also, big range, like the Hummer. It's got even more range than the Hummer. I think it's got more towing capability as well. And I think the bed is just more accessible. I think the frunks are about the same, really.
Yeah.
Because they're on the same platform, right?
Yeah. That's actually a really good deal, isn't it? $75,845, and that's brand new, Denali Edition 1.
Yeah.
So that's on a 24 registration, a model year. Look, I think that's a great deal. I think the best deal overall is that your workplace has free EV charging. Brilliant.
Right. Well, he works for General Motors, so.
So that's great. There's not even a swipe card or a small and nominal amount to pay. It's free. It's free. So as long as you don't lose your job and you haven't got anywhere to charge your vehicle, because then you might be changing your vehicle based on your job, which is a bit of a faff, then I think this is either of those vehicles would be good. I would err towards the Denali because it's just so nice. And the Hummer is, if you really wanted a Hummer, then you should go buy one and they're great. But
yeah,
it's a little bit like a comic book character, isn't it? It's larger than life in every possible way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that, you know, you put your foot into it and like the front end pops up a little bit, you know, it's kind of a blast. I don't think the Denali quite has those quirky sort of dynamics, but
both vehicles great, but yeah, I mean, absolutely killer. If you can always get a plug, and you were saying that the plugs, the 6 kilowatt chargers are normally only half used and you do the third shift as well, then you can pretty much guarantee a charge. That's a huge cost. I know that gas is cheaper where you are compared to here because 95 whatever percent of what we pay goes to the government, or at least 90% goes in taxes. I know it's cheaper, but even then, you're still saving a huge amount of your outgoings every month. Just living expenses, your commuting becomes free, and then you probably can afford a 75 grand truck. If you've got no, and if you went for a more efficient vehicle, and even then the Sierra is not massively efficient, but if you do go for one and you have a bit of a surplus each day, so you might only need, say, 30 kilowatt hours a day, but you might be getting, what did you reckon, Dom, in terms of on a total shift, the kilowatt hours consumed, charged?
With a Hummer, it was
15. No. In terms of what you'd pull, so it's a 6 kilowatt charger. So
Yeah.
With losses, you're probably pulling 5, maybe.
I mean, it should pull all 6.
It should do.
Yeah.
It won't be a lot less. It won't be a lot less. It's not like the losses from DC fast charging. So, on a 9-10 hour shift, you could even have a nice little surplus for the weekend as well. You may never need to pay for charging, even depending on what you do. That's brilliant.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, why not pay a little extra for the vehicle? I mean, if, you know, that whole expense is like not going to be part of your future.
Wow.
So we had a couple of questions in the chat that I wanted to address real quick. It says, Martin, you're very quiet compared to Dominic.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Wait and see.
It's like,
I don't know.
The
point of moving software was that people on our old software, StreamYard, were always telling us, look, all you, like, we have it set to auto, and it's meant to just balance it out, because everyone's microphone, I've got this one, you've got that one. And so we thought, we'll try a different platform, and again, we've just set the audio to auto, and it's called auto gain control. It's meant to auto level everything.
Right.
Like, I don't know what the algorithm does, but in theory, Dominic and I should be exactly the same volume in your headphones coming out of your speaker. So I don't know. But that's in theory.
But my for some reason my camera is all zoomed out for some reason. I need to look into the screen set, so you don't see my messy room quite so much. Or I need to clean up my room or get some plants or something. But anyway,
there's not too much more I can do. Like that has given us some level meters on screen, and I'm at about 4 peaking at 5, and Dominic's at about 4 peaking at 5. So I don't know.
So KV also asked, have I been missing these battery bargains, or did you guys stop doing these for a while? Glad it's back. We had actually stopped. So in the intro, I do say it's our weekly show, and it was pretty weekly for a while, relatively consistently. But we had some interview episodes that we've been doing midweek, and there's lots of stuff going on in the background here with our time commitments. So, and we didn't have like a lot of letters for a while, but we have had these letters. We're a couple of weeks behind. We should have been doing this a couple of weeks ago. So that's on me. But
I've been doing a 2.5 hour course every Wednesday morning for adoptive parents, because we've got two adopted kids. Right. And it's great, and it's fantastic. It's a great resource that's provided for us by the authorities. And it's also sort of mental health for parents of adopted kids and stuff, because they come with some stuff. They wouldn't be taken out of their place of they were if they had been treated well. And so I think you know what I'm getting at. And so, you know, adopting kids comes with challenges. But yeah, the last 7 weeks I've been doing a 2.5 hour course, and so I've not been able to be here on Wednesdays either. And you know, Dom said as well that we've not had you know, the chance to do it. So I've had some stuff going on Wednesdays, but today was the last one. So back into our hopefully regular routine.
Okay. If you're looking for an EV, you know, please drop us a letter or make a little video or whatever. And we'd love to have some more suggestions. We do have, I think, one right now loaded for the next week, if we can get some more. I just want to say, I really love how these comments appear on the screen now. It looks so much better.
I like this. Yeah, that bit of the new software I think works well.
Yeah. And people are saying our volumes are fine now.
I hope so. Yeah, I
went. Lionel is saying I'm wearing headphones, and Dom and Martin said I'm about the same level. So yeah. Let's get into our next letter then, I guess. Okay. So our next email.
Hang on. I need to work out what I've done. Oh, no. So if I. Oh, see, this is the bit that I normally have prepared. Not that we're slick normally, but like normally that would be. This is. If I turn this on, is that the first letter? First letter.
Yes. So
No!
I mean, I can share a letter.
I got it here. It was all going so well. So we want share that one. Hey, Dom and Martin.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes. All right.
Pros.
Hey, Dom and Martin. My partner and I live in a condo in Santa Barbara, California. We've long wanted to get an EV, and my partner's car recently decided to quit on us. My partner is an at-home physical therapist with a commute around 30 to 40 miles each day. My Honda CR-V can handle long road trips, but having this EV be able to fit a few surfboards would be ideal. The main issue is that we don't have a direct way to charge. We have a detached carport that is electrified, and an electrician is doing a site visit. But if that doesn't work out, we'll have to rely on local fast charging. I suspect it's going to be okay. It sounds like you're doing the right things, and you can probably easily run a lineup to your detached carport. So our budget is just shy of $36,000, and we've narrowed it down to a used Model Y or used Kia EV6. The Tesla Model Y feels like the obvious choice because when we test drove it, it felt a bit bumpier than we wanted. And frankly, it just felt like a regular car with a big screen. We borrowed a friend's Kia EV6 and thought it was really great. Good handling, nice interior, and it doesn't have the growing stigma that Teslas carry. The bummer is that used EV6s are CCS, and fast charging here is quite limited. It doesn't seem like a great idea to buy a car reliant on a standard being phased out. We'd love to get your take on whether we should go with a prudent decision of the Model Y, opt for the car we want, which is the EV6, or go with a different route that you may help discover. Thank you, Tavis. All right. Well, what do you think there, Martin?
So I think it's a great idea to go EV with one of your vehicles, because then if you just aren't feeling it on a road trip or for whatever reason, you've still got one combustion, you've got one EV, not a problem for some people. I think it's convenient if you are new to EV, just to do it, you know, baby steps, and prove it's absolutely fine. I think you've made two great choices. The Kia EV6 and the Tesla are both great choices. So the Kia EV6 is probably going to hold its value in the short term. Let me put it that way. So what we've seen this year in the US, now Europe and China is different, but what we've seen in the US, because of the activities of the CEO, we've seen really big depreciation of Teslas, more than any other brand in the US in the EV space, which is great if you want to buy one. Not great for leasing companies whose whole business model is based on residual values. You know, not great if you're a dealer and you've bought the stock and then you're trying to shift it and every day the price is going down. So I think you can get a killer deal on a Model Y at the moment. Plus, as you probably know, the new Model Y, so-called Juniper, has come out, which means that there are some killer deals on the old one. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with the old one. The original Model Y was great. Now I see lots of people, you know, auto analysts saying it's long in the tooth. They need to, you know, get rid of it. But in inventory in the US, you can get some really stellar deals, whether that is just the price of the vehicle or the finance from Tesla. So I'd recommend, if you don't mind buying a Tesla, having a look at that, because you are going to get some stellar deals. You may be hit with big depreciation. It does look like the CEO is stepping back from politics a little bit. And so maybe that whole thing will start to even itself out a little bit. But other vehicles around 36, well, you know, the 2LT trim of the Blazer, the Chevy Blazer, that is 35.7 or maybe 36 grand on the nose. You know, not a great trim, but, you know, certainly for Model Y, you can get a really, you know, almost new one with the very few amount of miles on. Find someone that doesn't want to drive a Tesla anymore for you know, reasons. And if you don't care about that, and many people don't, you know, then benefit from them taking the hit. I think both cases. Let me finish off very quickly on the subject of CCS versus NACS. Again, depends on how long you're going to run the vehicle. My opinion on this is if you're going to have it 3 to 5 years, you won't be affected in the slightest. I don't think there's going to be a charger going in the ground that doesn't have a CCS cable on it, DC fast charging, for a very long time. There will be a day when we see a third party, an IONNA or Electrify America, start to put new sites in that have no CCS on. But it took like 10 years for that to happen to CHAdeMO. And there's still CHAdeMO plugs around. But there are some sites going in now with no CHAdeMO. That sucks for Leaf drivers. You aren't going to be in that predicament, though. Yeah, you will always be able to charge. And there's adapters. There will be a day when it's all J3400. That day's a really long way away. If you're going to have the car for 15 years, maybe it affects you. Short-term, mid-term, not even a consideration. I wouldn't worry about it. What do you think, Dom?
So looking at the used car sites, and I did some shopping. I put the mileage at 30,000 or less, no accidents, clean title. The prices are pretty close between the Tesla Model Y and the EV6. There are a lot more examples of the Model Y out there, like four times as many, I think, used on the platform that I was looking at. So personally, I lean EV6 over pre-fresh Model Y. So I guess let's look at a used contender. Bring this up on the screen. And I brought up this EV Wind, Kia EV6 Wind. That's the trim. So it's not the light. Light is the entry-level trim. It's got a smaller battery. This is a 2022, 24,000 miles, $24,195. So this is eligible for the $4,000 tax rebate. So that would come down to $21,000 something. Usually that $4,000 insensitive is baked into the prices that we find on these used sites. But if it's like that close to $25,000, they can't have the price already off of it, right?
Yeah.
It has to be $25,000 to be eligible, or $25,000 or less to be eligible for that. So yeah, so I skipped over the light trim, went straight to the Wind because it has the big battery, and it's got a nicer cabin, really. So I think it's a good place to start. I think having the $4,000 off, you know, way down, that's way below your budget. So I think that makes up for the sin of having to use an adapter at some point in the future. And those are
all
like,
of the on. US is going to be using an adapter for years to come, whether you own one or the other, because you're always going to want to use the other plug at some point.
Right. But there's going to be, I mean, for these cars, they charge at 800 volts at best anyway. So you probably want to stay away from the Tesla supercharger network if you have the option. I mean, it should charge at Tesla superchargers as well. But 2022s, I think they're pretty slow on the supercharger sites. So let's see, going over the magic $25,000 price is where the used EV tax isn't applicable. This is the first one that caught my eye, just in case you don't mind spending a little bit more, since it is below your budget already. I've just found another example for you here. And 2024, so nice and new. 26 is still 10,000 or 9,000 below your budget. 26,888, 14,000 miles. So pretty, you know, pretty newest, newish. And I think I kind of, it is like more, but I think having something this much more newer with that much more warranty on it is kind of the way to go, really.
Look at that. That's a great car that you found. 26,888 for a 2024 car. Nice trim, nice interior, great. I love that shade of blue, whatever they call it. You know, the infotainment system in the Hyundais and Kias is not next level. It's not cutting edge. It right. still looks like the Niros and Konas from way back in the day, but it's fine. You know what I'd do? That's a stellar deal you found. I would call that dealer today and say, I'll write you a check right now for 25 grand and make them a silly offer. Because if they accept 25, it's effectively 21.
True.
With the tax credit, I'd give them a call right now and be like, I'll come down with the cash.
Right.
I'll give you 25. Because you never know. They might want to shift a car. It might be, I don't know, like end of month or whatever. They've got to hit a target. They might have leeway. They might have got that traded in at a killer price where they've got room. And they might say, no, our margins are really razor thin. We can do like 26 and a half. But I'd make a silly offer and see what they say. And say, look, I'll offer you 25 because I want the tax credit. And I'll pay it right now. And they might, you never know.
True, right?
You've got to ask.
Oh, we have a fan down here. John is saying, glad Battery Bargains is back. So am I. I kind of miss doing it. I love doing this shopping. Like, so the night before, you know, I spend a couple hours, you know, looking through the webs, through the sites and looking at what's out there. Because it's been a while. So the market has kind of shifted a little bit. And yeah, I'm still learning things. Let's see. So yeah, I guess those are my recommendations. Oh, I think... Oh, the other alternate. I had another alternate suggestion. Actually, that's true, right? And that would be to get also a Kia EV6, but a new one. So the new ones have the NACS port, so that's not an issue so much. I'm just scrolling. I put the.
I wonder if Kia is still putting in their own version of the tax credit, because some of the cars weren't getting the tax credit, but Kia and Hyundai are making you good on that.
Right. I believe it is eligible for the tax credit.
Whoa. And
so, yes, because they have them right here on the thing. So you can, if you went light the small battery, maybe you don't need the big battery, you can get it as cheap as $35,400 after the federal tax credit, which is your budget. It's like all of your budget, but it's
right budget. There.
And then it's brand new, all the warranty, and you know, and it's got a NACS DC charge port on it, so no worries about that part anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
So, and you can see on the screen if you wanted to step up to like the all-wheel drive or the rear-wheel drive light long range with a bigger battery, you know, it's 38.7, so just a couple grand and a half more than your budget. Yeah.
Like that.
So that's what I got for that, basically.
You should consider it. You should definitely consider it. Hey, I've just realized that with this new software, we can actually put, I think, the comments on screen. Is that right? That's kind of dangerous. I mean, our listeners are amazing, and we don't. So if you're watching this on replay, not when we're actually live streaming, that means you'd actually get to see the live chat as it's coming in. Mm. But then somebody could write something in the comments, which is, I don't know, would get us in trouble. My 7-year-old is super into the Minecraft movie, which has been out a couple of weeks. And in it is a phrase that I've never heard before, which is suck butt. Jason Momoa says, I try not to suck butt. I've never heard that phrase before. So somebody could put in the comments, you guys suck butt. Which it would appear to be an insult. I'd quite like to see that on screen, by the way, so feel free. I gather it's not good.
Our final email comes to us from Ben.
Thank you for getting us back on track, by the way.
Hey, batteries included. I'm in a bit of a pickle with a loan on my 2023 Bolt EUV. Long story short, I misunderstood the tax credits and the car didn't qualify. And now I'm paying on a loan for about $10,000 more than my car is worth, $32,000 versus $22,000. I have been saving some money and was planning on using that to pay my loan down by a few thousand in an attempt to refinance this year. But after some research, I'm wondering if it might be a better idea for me to use that as a down payment and try to find a different vehicle. So far, the models I've seen mostly available in my price range are the Niro EV, the Kona EV, the ID4, and the Ariya from Nissan. Here are a few of the most notable things that I'm considering. Battery and range. My Bolt EUV is my daily driver, and I do have a different ICE vehicle that I can use for road trips, so a large range increase or charging improvement isn't an absolute necessity, but it would be great to have. Driver assist safety features. I have Super Cruise in my Bolt and don't use it a ton, but I still enjoy it. I like to have something similar. From what I understand, the ID4 and Ariya both have similar feature sets on some trims. Drive/performance. I would prefer to avoid rear-wheel drive only vehicles. I'm okay with either front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. I would also really like to keep one pedal driving capability. Thanks, Ben. Wow. Okay. So I guess the idea here is to get as much value, trade-in value for your EV as possible. This is a tough situation to be in. You know, I'm underwater in my own car, I think a bit too. I paid 31 something for it, but it was a couple of years ago now. And I'm not sure what I could get for it, but probably like 20. But I think I still owe more than that because of the loan I got had all this extra insurance things, add-ons in there. So I'm paying like a lot more than I really should be than my original price for the car. So all that to say, I sympathize with your situation here. And I'm not sure if it's smarter to get a different car. I mean, it would be if you can get a super good deal on the trade-in. I guess it could make up for some of that being underwater and then maybe even having a car with better resale. So you can kind of dig out yourself out a bit there, but I think you're still ultimately going to be, underwater by some amount. Just to address like the Super Cruise part, I don't think any of these other cars that you mentioned have a system quite as good as Super Cruise. Super Cruise is really good. I think you might be able to get lane centering on some of these. They may also have lane keep assist, which personally I find that super just annoying to use, but everyone has different takes on that kind of thing. I think Nissan does have a decent ADAS system, we call it, Advanced Driver Assist System. But I'm not sure. I forget what they call it. Do you remember is it Auto Car Pilot or
Which one's that on Nissan?
Nissan?
Yeah.
Theirs was pretty decent, actually, now that I think about it. But I don't know if the Hyundai ones have been that impressive, especially on a used one. Thinking about the cars that they've mentioned, I think it makes sense to aim for the most affordable options, really. So I'd look at the Kia EV Niro and Hyundai Kona right off the top of my head. The older Kona's electrics have a little bit less backseat room, but the newer ones are basically the same size as the Niro EV, of course, and they sit on the same platform, and they're both all-wheel drive, so they meet that requirement. The Volkswagen ID4, which you mentioned, in the two-wheel drive, that's a rear-wheel drive version, which I personally love. Because it gives the ID4 like this amazing turning circle. It's like magically small turning circle. But I feel like maybe you're concerned about traction. I don't think that's an issue really, but people have strong feelings about people who like front wheel drive in slippery conditions. Some people really prefer that over rear wheel drive, and I'm not going to argue with them here on the show about that. Let me see. So there are some decent deals out there, and they're well below $25,000. So the used EV incentive applies. It looks It's very likely reflected in the showroom price on car sales platforms. Okay, so but always double check with the dealer. So the Kia wise, oops, this one. I was going to say this one jumped out at me, but the one I had, I'll just bring this up on the screen. So I clicked on this car, and it's been sold. No longer listed. This vehicle is no longer available. So they gave me some other Kias available near Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. I guess that's where the dealer was that I had originally looked at. But it was a 2022 Kia Niro EV EX trim. That's a little higher trim. It's a middle trim. Middle trim, because it goes EX and the EX Premium, I believe. So it had 12,700 miles on it for $17,765. It was Kia certified, so meaning the dealer had gone over it and, you know, certified that all the systems were working properly. So I would be tempted to go. That looked pretty good, but I would be tempted to go with a 2023 over that if possible. So you get the refreshed exterior, because the Kia EV got a refresh in 2023, and then it's also like the same age as the car that you're in. So, like resale wise down the road, you're not going to be penalized as much for, you know, when you go to resell your car. And this one is no longer listed. And so, yeah, that was the 2023 that I had to bring up. So moving along, the Nissan Ariya is also pretty similar in price as the Kias and Hyundai Kona Electrics. If you get the Engage trim with a smaller battery, but that would give you less range than your Bolt EV. So looking at higher trims, I did find this one Nissan Ariya. I can bring this up on the screen again. I'm getting better at this, Martin. I'm going to be ready for Friday's show.
Yeah, hopefully. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So what do we got here? We got a 2023 Nissan Ariya Premier, 15,964 miles, $22,453. I think this is with the incentive already off, which you would think that would be automatically 21,000. I'm not exactly sure how they do take off the incentive and get above that, really. So, you know, call if you find something in that, you know, price range and have questions, you can always call them and ask what's up with that. This one's nice. It's got a panoramic sunroof. I'm not sure what key features it has. It's front wheel drive. All the Nissan Ariya two wheel drives are the main drive axles in the front. Mm-hmm. And it's got adaptive cruise control, heated seats, heated steering wheel, keyless entry, keyless start, navigation, of course, power lift gate, Android Auto and CarPlay. It doesn't say whether or not that's wireless or not, but, and I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe you do, Martin. But yes, alloy wheel, sunroof, backup cameras, of course, LED headlights. That's great. Rain sensing wipers, also great. Rear cross traffic alert, leather seats, memory seats. I don't know if they're real leather seats, but yeah. Anyway, so I'm not sure what it has for the 8S, for the advanced driving part, but these are generally just like guidelines. You know, you can all get on like cars.com or cargurus.com. Those are two of the most popular platforms to go car shopping on. And, you know, find deals that are better or maybe in your area, more accessible to you. So I thought that was pretty good. But then looking at I thought the VW ID.4 would be a bit tougher because you have to jump, you know, right up the all-wheel drive to avoid having like a rear-wheel drive situation. So I did find a certified all-wheel drive Volkswagen ID.4. It's a 2023, so in that same model year. And look, it's practically brand new, 7,700 miles on it. I think this is a pretty good deal. I mean, some people aren't happy with the software in the Volkswagen, ID.4. So, but I think coming from the Bolt EUV, it should be not terrible. You know, it should be fine. And this is a great price. All-wheel drive, there's a lot to be said for that. It's below 25,000. It's 20, right at that price, 24,997. So should be eligible for the $4,000 incentive. I don't know, Martin. What do you think?
I think it's all amazing vehicles that you found for our friend Ben here. You did a great job with this, actually. Found some. There are some great deals out there, by the way.
Yeah.
Around that price. So a couple of questions. Is he saying that he owes 32 on a car worth 22?
Yes.
Is that right? Because 2023 Bolt EUV, is that worth 22?
I didn't look at what I could take a look real quick and see what
it seems like. It's
for.
Not going to be worth 22. I don't know, but I need, that's a blind spot. I need to.
Oh, I mean, if it's options up, like if it's worth 32 now, he probably paid like 36 to 38. I'm thinking for it,
and it's worth 22, and he owes 32.
Right.
So he's 10K under. So he could possibly sell it for 22.
Right. That's what he's thinking.
All right. Well, look, this is the great thing about having two people on the podcast who can give different opinions. And let's have a look at the pricing here.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Am I sharing this on my screen? Yeah. So this is what I'm showing you on screen, what I do in prep. So I've set a clean title, no accidents reported.
Yeah.
I'm less than 30,000 miles. I don't like, telling people to get a car with 80,000 miles, unless for certain situations, sometimes that's the way to go. But
yeah.
Generally, yeah. So we're looking at, this is after the $4,000 has been taken off, as they show on the screen, $16,000 for. So they're actually selling it for 16, so 20,000 for both EUV front wheels. LT. So if you have like a higher trim level than the LT, the prices only go up from here.
Okay. So maybe it is a 22 grand car. Right. Good. So you're 10K under. Right. Okay. So Ben, my friend, Ben, and I mean this with absolute love. And we're just here to offer our opinion. And I'm just an idiot podcaster from Great Britain. And you can just say that guy sucks butt and I won't mind. See, I'm speaking your lingo all of a sudden. But look, if you begin your email, I'm in a bit of a pickle over a loan agreement and you misunderstood or someone's given you bad advice on the tax credit. Firstly, I'm annoyed at the dealer or whoever for giving you bad advice or however you ended up in this. You thought you were going to get it and I don't know the reason why you didn't get it. There's lots of reasons. Cars can have, your income level or they weren't, for whatever reason, they didn't come with a tax credit. But that car probably should have done, but I don't know. But look, if you are beginning your email with it in, I'm in a pickle over my loan agreement, let me tell you how I buy and sell cars, and it's incredibly unsexy. I save up, and when I got some money, I go buy a car, and when they depreciate, I bang my head against a wall and wonder why I do this, but I love cars, and then I sell it, and I go buy a new one with cash, and it depreciates. I bang my head against the wall, and my wife goes, how much money did we lose on this one? It's because I'm 46 years old and I'm able to do that with my income level, which is not spectacular, but I like cars. It's kind of my thing. And I've had this Polestar for over a year now. So I'm not even like trading every 3 months. So I'm not like I'm addicted to buying and selling cars.
No.
But that's how I do it since I had a loan agreement on a 2001. So we're going back a long time. I was in my 20s here. Audi TT. And I hated every second of owing somebody money, something for a car. And I don't for a minute pretend that you didn't need reliable transport to get to your job, to take your children to hospital appointments or whatever. Reliable, affordable transport is very important. But my friend, you're in a pickle over finance. You're 10K under. Look, here's my advice. I would do not trade it in and do not go to a dealer because they are very, very good at knowing how to get the lowest possible price out of that car. No disrespect to you. They're better at buying, selling cars than you are. You've proven that. And this is what they do for a living. Don't trade it. Don't go to a dealer. Advertise it privately. Find someone who'll give you top dollar for it. And that might mean waiting for a little bit. But get the most out of it you can. Then you're probably going to have to find a way, either through a loan or a credit union or whatever, to try and kind of clear your debt. And start again, my friend, and get out from under the thumb of these people that keep you I say oppressed. That's quite a strong word, isn't it? Oh my gosh, we're talking about cars here.
Nope, I'm being oppressed.
Yeah. I know, I'm being oppressed. But seriously, like, if you've got yourself in this situation and it's probably giving you, it's probably stressing you out, and it's, you know, it's not a happy situation to be in, get out from all of that. And you can genuinely get into good, reliable, as Dom's proved, like proven, EV prices are cheap now, right? And so you can easily get yourself into a much cheaper car, a cheap Bolt, a cheap Leaf, anything like that. And you can find those deals out there. But please, I would say try and get rid of this vehicle. It's really difficult, I know. And then try and pay down your debt and then try and start again from the very bottom rung of the ladder, because you are even below that at the minute. Like this whole kind of, I'll trade it in and try and get a good trade in price. You won't. They always win. They will always win on the deal. You're never going to go, you know, got to kill a price on that. So that would be my advice, because I know it's worked for me, but it doesn't work for everyone. Right. And you've got to get over that hump that I did over like 20 years where you drive absolute trash bags and they're always breaking down and it's horrible. But then, you know, you wake up 20 years later and you haven't got like spectacular life, but you are in a place where you're like, okay, well, no one's going to knock on my door if I don't make, because I have no payments anymore. But I know that that is really difficult. I know it's really difficult because I'm, you know, it's not how 90 something percent of cars are, you know, bought and sold with finance. I saw Jim Farley was talking about 5 or 6 year loans like being the norm this week and stuff like that. So like, I'm not trying to, you know, belittle anyone's situation or big up myself or anything like that. It was a conscious thing that took forever. Please think about whether you need to drive such a nice car. It's my advice.
Tommy the Truck Man is with us today. He says, I still drive trash bags. They're a fun adventure every time.
No, they are. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, my first two cars, I think I paid $600 for each of them. Then the next one was like $1,800, which, you know, of course, this was like a while back.
No. Yeah. So look, many other areas of my life, I'm rubbish at. So like I completely get screwed over all of the time, whether it's like, I don't know, my TV contract or my broadband contract, but cars I've thought about a lot over the years, and now you're talking my language, and that's just how I think. That's one way of winning in the car game. I mean, you're always going to lose because of depreciation, I spent a long time thinking about how to get out of that cycle of finance, and I Ben, reach out again and tell us how you get on. I want to hear from you, and I want to hear like what you decided and how you ended up kind of getting out of this, because I want the best for you.
All right. Hey, we've been going along. These are supposed to be like 30-minute shows, and we're up to like almost 47 minutes here. So I guess that brings us to the end of this show. If you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. And thank you all very much for joining us. And we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQBar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQBar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.